welcome to the latest episode in the Enterprise Times Security Podcast Series. My name is Ian Murphy. My guest today is Rich Orange, Regional Director, UK and Ireland at Forescout. Today we're going to be talking about cyber hygiene and the impact on security. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Ian. Nice to speak to you and thanks for taking the time out to speak to me today. As you said, my name is Richard Orange. I'm the Regional Director for the UK with Forescout. We are an Enterprise of Things security company. We provide active defence of the Enterprise of Things by identifying, segmenting and enforcing compliance of devices. What that means is we know about everything that is on our customers' networks. We see every device when it turns up and we help them segment and put some common control policies around those devices when we see them. So really looking forward to the conversation today.
Cyber hygiene. I can't think of a broader subject to talk about. Do you want to bound this as to what Forescout's position is on cyber hygiene?
Yeah, good question. When I think about cyber hygiene, for a long time, I've been of the philosophy that the real big gains in cyber are made through having really good cyber hygiene. When we think about cyber hygiene, what we think about is understanding everything that is connected to your network and know where the risks are. If you have devices that turn up on your network, you really need to know what those devices are and what risks they present to the organization, meaning are those devices patched? Are they using default credentials? Do they have known vulnerabilities? Only when you know about those devices, when they connect to your network, are you in a position to apply security controls to them. Our philosophy is understand what you have before you go out and spend loads of money on other security controls out there, understand what your security baseline looks in the first place, and then apply security controls thereafter.
How do we get that list of devices connected to our network? I know it sounds like an odd question. I've been around networking since the mid-1980s when we saw NetWare 1.1. The reality here is, in today's modern office, we've allowed users to bring in any device they want and connect it to the network because it's what they use for work. In a work-from-home scenario, we have absolutely no control over those devices. We do not know what somebody has at home, yet they're connecting in through a VPN network with devices attached to that laptop. We can't see them. We can't apply work security controls because we don't own them. Where do we begin?
This is the big question all organizations face when they think about connected devices. When you think about implementing security strategy to be holistic and complete in your security strategy, one of the bigger challenges you've just described, remote working is a great example of that. It's a silo. We're thinking about a silo of devices. And silos exist all across the extended enterprise these days. They're in common campus estates. They stretch out to operational technology networks, manufacturing. It's in your Internet of Things, your IoT devices. We have data center and we have cloud. Your question is a really valid one, is how do we know about what is on our network? How do we know what the base cyber hygiene of things looks like? There's a term that we use a lot, which is if you want to know what's on the network, you have to ask the network. You've got to go in and you'd be able to interrogate the network and look at the ways that devices connect in, be able to spot them when they turn up. And these interrogation techniques are very different from operational technology as they would be from remote access devices. You've got to first off have the ability from a tooling point of view to know that things are connected in the first place. If you know that things are connected and you can go and do some interrogation on them, then you can do something about measuring what that baseline looks like.
One of the obvious solutions to this might be to say every device on my network has to be authenticated onto the network. As we've discovered in the last few days, even in a Windows world with the new zero logon attack, we can't do that. I can walk in and attack your network because of a flaw in the underlying basic protocol. Microsoft has said that it will release a second update next year that will harden security, but we know it will break the connection for a lot of devices that haven't got a secure identity on the network. How do we introduce things like segmentation and other technologies so that we can better handle qualified devices, unqualified devices that have a secure ID, virtual devices which have no hardware ID?
What you're hitting on there is an architectural shift in the way that organizations are thinking about how they can bring devices in. One of the things that we see is that authentication is a mechanism of validating connections, but it's not the only mechanism. The other aspect to this is that devices can connect and you can authenticate them. However, don't be under the assumption that once a device is authenticated, it is then good to operate freely on the network, because it's not. Once a device is in, you have to monitor the device and the behavior of that device to understand what it's doing on your network, what it's trying to communicate to on your network, the types of systems it's trying to access. Only if you constantly monitor the behavior of those devices in real time can you effectively move into something that might feel like an effective segmentation or zero trust type strategy. Moving down the concept of zero trust and segmentation is absolutely something that we advocate. I genuinely believe that segmentation, it's one of the most effective controls against something like a malware attack. When you think about segmentation, what you're trying to do is, number one, regulate where devices can communicate from and to, but you're also mitigating the blast radius in the event that you have some kind of breach. The barrier to good segmentation and implementing good segmentation is understanding what devices are out there, the users that are using them, the behavior of those users, and then making some decisions about whether or not they're behaving as they should do, whether or not they're accessing resources that they should be allowed to. But you have to know that the device is there anyway. If you start with segmentation, you could find yourself in a position where you're disruptive to the network because you're segmenting things before you know what you've got. You know, kind of going back to that theme of cyber hygiene, understanding the basics of what you have is an absolute enabler for programs of work like segmentation of zero trust in the first place.
But getting that initial understanding of the device and of the individual is one of those things that sounds so simple. That's a user in Department X. These are the functions that they want to have access to. But we've lacked the discipline for 2, if not 3 decades to really enforce that. We don't really control those devices in terms of limiting their access to certain things. We don't control users despite having the technologies to do so. Part of that is because we have remote users. We have people who move from job A to job B to job C in the company. We give them the rights to stay connected to all the people they used to be, the applications, and worse, the data. How do we get better discipline in order to properly understand who those users and devices are so that we can begin to apply the correct behavioral models and therefore the correct levels of segmentation?
There's like 3 questions in there. One of the issues that you hit on, which I think is a really valid point, is that you said that we've got the tools to control these things, which is a very accurate statement. I 100% agree with you. Part of the challenge from a tooling point of view is that integrating tooling to give you a easy mechanism, binding devices to identity of users, of recognizing behavior, integrating that security tooling in years gone by has been very hard. It's a very expensive engineering job. You'd typically be in a situation where you're having to pull together multiple tool sets and try and force them to work and don't have a common framework. My opinion is that as a cybersecurity community and a vendor community, there's more we can do here to make it a little bit easier for customers. Part of the issue that you describe there is in multi-tooling to get that common view of what is out there. From a tooling point of view, if you can get out of the position of silos, if you can get to a common baseline, think of it as tying it back to the concept of having CMDB, which is a great nirvana for an organization. Know everything that should be on your network and stick it in a common database of software and hardware. If you can get yourself to a position where you just have a view of everything that is connected, if you can really understand that, all the grains of sand out there and baseline everything that we've got, you're going to find that your position to do security transformation becomes much easier. We've got to overcome the silos of tooling and get ourselves to a position where we make security transformation a bit easier. It's very hard at the minute.
The CMDB bit always amuses me. We've spent 3+ decades denigrating all the technologies that appeared with the mainframe. Data classification and CMDB are just 2 of them, saying they were old hat, they were restrictive. Now we're realizing that they have a significant place to play if we're going to be more secure. But I'd like to come back on that tooling question. You talked about making those tools work together, the complexity of integration. Far too many businesses are rolling their own. The 2 obvious questions that come out of that for me is, do we have too many tools in the average environment? And if so, how do we reduce this to be not just manageable, but effective.
This is one of the complexities that we've drifted into as a bit of an industry. Have you ever been to RSA?
Yes.
InfoSec, same thing, not quite on steroids. When you visit RSA and you go to the floor, there are 2,000 vendors there. If I'm a consumer of cybersecurity products, I think, well, where do I even start in here? There's 2,000 companies that are all telling me that they've got the greatest thing. We have drifted into a sort of a tools first type scenario where I see a lot of organizations where there is an incident, reach for the nearest tool that feels like it might solve that particular problem. Then we work back to trying to solve the problem. If we could take a bit of a step back from that and take a risk-based approach and measure the risk and drive our tooling decisions out of the back of that, we would find ourselves in a position where you're going to get more effective use out of the tools that you're out there investing in. Get yourself to a position where you really understand the big wins that are going to really help you from a cyber posture point of view. Where are you really going to take risk out of your organization? Invest in the appropriate tooling around it, but make sure you get good value extraction from those tools as well. Don't buy a tool and then use 5% of the functionality. Buy a tool that's going to help you and you can take 40% of the functionality. That's how you're going to avoid the situation of tool sprawl, which is the situation that we're in at the minute. And the more you simplify it, the more you help break down those silos and the easier it becomes to integrate things together. Yeah, I think this is applicable at all areas of enterprise. The very large enterprise tends to have one of every tool out there. And I'm generalizing a little bit, but if you look to the bank, they've kind of bought one of everything out there. And they get good value extraction out of some and perhaps less out of others. When your budget is a little bit more modest, really making sure that you understand the good wins that you can get, aligning to the good frameworks out there, the good control sets, you know your hardware, know your software, know your patching levels, know your vulnerabilities. That's going to make it easier from a tooling point of view, which fundamentally is going to get you a better data set that you can work from. Ultimately, you're going to drive more efficient things like CMDBs at the end of that. If you're trying to correlate too many data sources, that's when it becomes really, really difficult. So you've got to try and simplify it as best you can. I realize that's easier said than done, by the way, but that's what I see a lot of in the market, and we could avoid some of that.
It's that moment at the start of every presentation when a vendor puts up that slide saying, look, all these people use our tools, when really what it means is all these people have bought a copy of our tooling, but we really have no idea how many of them actually use it. But it looks good because they're Fortune 500 companies.
I wouldn't know what you mean, Ian.
We're still in a world where vendors want to own the customer. They want to create the ultimate security suite. Yet customers actually want best of breed, not necessarily everything from one source. What we haven't done is vendors producing a proper security framework into which tools can easily be plugged. The parallel to this is the automobile industry. If you go and buy a car today, you can go and buy a large number of aftermarket parts for that car. From audio to different types of steering wheels, you can change the wheels on the outside, you can buy aftermarket brakes to make it stop faster, you can buy a turbo to make it go faster and lose your license quicker. But in security, we don't really have that level of industry awareness. As APIs begin to emerge from vendors, do you see us beginning to advance to the point where the larger vendors will become effectively security framework vendors and make it easier for other people, new entrants in the market, to be able to produce best of breed elements that just simply click in like a Lego brick?
Good question. I should probably just clarify that from my point of view, security frameworks in general are definitely better not set by the vendors. And definitely by independent bodies. What you're talking about there is framework integrations. So how do we get common languages and common integrations?
Absolutely, because without that, we can't pass data between the various applications. We are spending huge amounts of money at the moment on SIEM systems and often getting very little returns.
There has been advancements on this in the last 5 years. There has been more of an acceptance within the cybersecurity vendor community that integrations should be a little bit more open. Think back 10 or 15 years, trying to integrate those platforms was really difficult because a lot of the larger security companies back then were kind of going down the proprietary route. They would try and create portfolios with lots of tools that cover lots of different use cases and integrate them all themselves. there is definitely a use case in the market for buying best of breed for your organization. What is best of breed for your organization might be slightly different to another organization because you might have a slightly different use case. What we do have to do is make a better job of helping the market integrate the tooling in general. It's something that we spend quite a lot of time on ourselves. It's not just us. There's been a reasonably good SOAR market of the last 3 or 4 years as well, where there's better orchestration tools out there that are breaking down some of those language barriers and creating aggregation layers for security tooling. That is definitely something that will continue. It's not an inexpensive process to do. I would take it back to this point of simplification. We started the conversation around a kind of base cyber hygiene type conversation. If you looked at every organization out there, if you really understood where the big risk areas are in your organization, if you understand the devices out there that are particularly susceptible to compromise, if you have some older devices that sit in your network, and you know, I can give you some examples here. Take a look at healthcare. At Forescout, we have this concept of a device cloud. It's a repository of 12 million devices. We have some healthcare data in general. More than 35% of Windows devices in healthcare are running out-of-date versions of Windows. That, by the way, is not because healthcare organizations don't have the budget or can't migrate these things out. It's because there are old devices that exist in their network for very specific uses. They could be the base underlying operating system for an X-ray machine or a pneumatic thermostat or something like that. Really making sure that you understand where these devices are, you would know that that device is potentially something that could be easily compromised. If you know where it is, then number one, you can understand if you can patch or apply a control to it. But number two, you can apply some effective segmentation around that device. Keep it in the correct swim lane. If that device stops doing what it should be doing and starts trying to communicate to a financial system, a back-end server or something like that, you can effectively segment it. In the worst case, if that device is really starting to do something bad, you can at least control that device and take it out of service if it's doing something particularly bad on the network. I think the concept of simplification helps you tame some of that complexity of the integration market as well. Is more of a basic approach to cyber hygiene.
You're talking here about devices that are Windows driven, and that's fine. We know we have a set of protocols and we know that they're talking IP. There's an awful lot of devices in healthcare, manufacturing, other industries that don't talk IP, that weren't installed by an IT department, that cannot have an agent put upon them so we know what they do. How do we get organizations to spend that time, that money, that effort, to do that discovery across multiple protocols, to then find the engineers who installed the devices in order to work out what can be secured, how it can be secured, and what is normal? Because we come back to that behavior thing you mentioned earlier. If we don't know what is normal, we don't know what is abnormal.
I couldn't agree with you more here. At the top of the conversation, we talked about the concept of thinking about security tooling in silos. An example of this would be where you were going there, which is you'll have some of your environment that's a standard campus networks, you'll have some of it that's data center, you'll have some of it that's cloud. But increasingly what we're seeing is operational technology and industrial IoT, semi-intelligent IoT. We did an Enterprise of Things report on this recently. If you look at some of the riskiest devices, and this is common across all verticals, as you see things like building automation systems, HVAC systems, physical access control systems, they tend to appear in the top one or two of riskiest devices that could be connected to your network. In the old way of doing security, you would have had to try and push an agent out to each of your devices to get your security control onto that device. You could apply some kind of common security policy to it. If you can tell me how you're going to get an agent on a physical access control, a door security pad or a fridge or the most overused example, a fish tank, what you need to have from a tooling point of view is the ability to give you some context of devices. The argument is that the most important thing is to know is if something is connected. If you don't know that something is connected in the first place, you are literally stuffed because it's probably going to be that thing that comes back to bite you. But to know that it is there, and that it is connected, and to use another one of your examples earlier, to know that that device is authenticated is not enough. You have to have the context of that device. If it's something where you can't get an agent, you need to be able to use some other techniques to get a sense of what that device is doing and how it's behaving. You may take traffic off that device. There could be other things that you could interrogate off that device, but you need to get something that gets you at least a baseline, a score of what that device is and what it should look like. Once you've got that baseline, irrespective of whether or not you can get an agent to it or not, if you've got the baseline, you understand it, you can spot deviations from it. Once you've got to that point of, I know what a deviation looks like, then you know if you've got an alert you should potentially go and have a look at. If you don't know that it's there in the first place and you don't have the context and you don't have the base cyber hygiene, then forget about doing segmentation and all the other kind of good things around it. If you've got a really, really big problem, that's your time bomb waiting to go off. That's where I draw it back to the security tooling. I see lots of organizations going out spending really big money on very expensive, sophisticated cyber tools, which is fine and very appropriate. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't do that, but know what your attack surface looks like in completeness in the first instance, and then deploy your security controls accordingly.
So we're running out of time, but I've got one last question, and you've partially started to answer it. I take on a job to sort out a large organization, doesn't know what it's got, doesn't know where it is, doesn't know what is running on the network. And the board wants me to walk in tomorrow morning and give them the top five things that they're going to give me money to do to sort out our cyber hygiene. What are they?
Brilliant question. When I think about the top five things that you should be looking at, honestly, I think you can do a lot worse to look at some of the common security controls that are out there. I realize that I probably sound like I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but if you look at the vast majority of the frameworks, the good frameworks that we've been following, if you look at some of the newest, NISD is a great example of this, is they all start with similar things. Know your hardware that's connected, know the software that's on the hardware, know whether or not that software is valid software or not, know if that software is patched, and know whether or not those devices that are on your network are trusted or not. So many of the good security frameworks start there. If you can start by solving that particular problem, if you invest your dollars there, not only will you save money in the fullness of time on other security controls, there is a very strong argument you're going to drive out a lot of risk up front just by doing the basics a little bit better. That would be how I would tackle it.
Brilliant. Rich, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, really great to chat to you. Thanks, Ian.